This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Tell our children to be curious about the world, but then we decide what things they can and cannot be curious about, and then that ends up transitioning into this state of suppression of curiosity as adults.
Educators are reacting to some of the bills passed out of the 2022 legislative session. Pranu Kumar, who runs a social justice-driven bookstore for children, is one of our guests. Also,
it's unfortunate that our State Department of Health will be on the wrong side of history when it comes to protecting our children during this pandemic.
Orlando-based pediatrician Dr. Candace Jones shares her thoughts on the Florida Surgeon General recommending against COVID-19 vaccines for children. We've got all that and more coming up on this Sine Die edition of The Rotunda.
Members, the budget has been put on the desk at 1:53 p.m.
There is a lot to comb through in Florida's record-setting more than $112 billion state budget. That will have to be another show, but a quick summary. You'll find state employee pay raises at 5.38% and a $15 an hour minimum wage set for state workers. A host of tax breaks and tax holidays are on the horizon, about $450 million worth. And revamped retribution. For the 12 school districts that defied Governor Ron DeSantis' ban on mask mandates, instead of losing out of $200 million in state funding, they could risk losing out on a school recognition program that would reward faculty and staff in schools receiving an A. Here is House Budget Chair Jay Trumbull explaining how it works.
You're only eligible for it if your grades are good, right? So if your school grades are an A or a B, then that's when you get the dollars. Has nothing to do with, hey, here's some extra funds so that maybe you can perform better. It's rewarding you for performing well. And what this fund is doing is saying, hey, you followed the law and your kids in your class or in your school is doing well, you have the ability to draw down some of these resources. Should you have broken the law you don't receive those resources.
So all eyes are on the budget as it makes its way to approval today and the end of the 2022 legislative sessions and when lawmakers vote on that final budget. Big surprise on Friday include lawmakers passing a Medicaid plan. Senate Bill 1950 sets the stage for the Agency for Healthcare Administration to award billions of dollars in Medicaid managed care contracts. We will have an upcoming episode on what this all means. But for now, culture wars. That's how this session has been described. If all goes as planned, Governor DeSantis will sign bills that bars teachers from instruction that makes students feel discomfort for historic wrongs of their race, color, sex, or national origin. Also, any instruction about sexuality or gender between kindergarten and third grade or in a manner that is not age-appropriate would also be banned. And there is so much more of the many bills that pass through this session. We've reached out to a guest who leans into these topics whenever raised by children instead of running away from them. Here is Pranu Kumar, founder and education leader of Rohi's Readery, a social justice-driven children's bookstore and learning center in West Palm Beach.
You are intelligent. Mikkel, you are a strong black male, a smart black male who is ready for today. Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
You sure are. My lovely ladies, they sometimes say, oh, ladies, they can't do math. They can't do science. But let me tell you something. Ladies, can we do our math?
Yes!
Absolutely. Yes, we can.
How I came across your work was seeing people share the way you were interacting with children on social media. I believe it was Instagram, and how you were just empowering these children, particularly students of color, empowering them to be proud of themselves. So I also found that you're also a big advocate and following issues that are going on here in Tallahassee. So tell us about yourself.
Yeah. So once again, my name is Pranu Kumar. I am the proud Konkani immigrant daughter of two incredibly hard working immigrant parents. And I am an educator who is really committed to liberating educational experiences for children, especially of marginalized communities. And then I'm also a mother to a 16-month-old daughter and another one on the way in 6 weeks. yeah, but a little bit about me. I say all of this because every time I think about who am I think about the people who've come before me and just taking the time to honor those who have come before me, such as my parents and ancestors and descendants who have worked so hard to allow me to speak unapologetic truth when it comes to, you know, the rights of our babies, and also for adults as well. So that's a little bit, I always start off with that because I wouldn't be anywhere without the ancestors' courage and resistance to be able to speak today. But I am really someone who is committed to, like I said, liberating educational experiences for our babies. Growing up as someone who moved from another country to the Deep South and experienced a tremendous amount of isolation, oppression, and racist experiences, not only for myself, but for my family as well in personal and professional spaces, I understand from my story the impact when you have a lack of identity-driven spaces to feel safe, to feel empowered, to feel belonging, and to just feel accessibility to knowing that there are spaces for our children. So that's really why I do the work that I do, because our babies deserve to be unapologetically and authentically themselves.
Indeed. Well, thank you so much for that work. And I wanted to find out here in Tallahassee, those policymakers, the lawmakers listening to this program and hearing from someone with boots on the ground, if you will, those in the trenches, in the classroom, what do you make of the issues that you're seeing debated here in Tallahassee, from the banning of, like, you know, topics like critical race theory and the just recently passed Don't Say Gay bill dubbed by critics? And what do you make of these policy issues moving along here in Tallahassee?
Yeah, I am heartbroken. I am angry. Audre Lorde once, you know, said about how to channel, you know, our anger into righteousness for progressive and change. So I am trying to find ways to do that from the readery with other loving community members here, to ensure that our babies do have the opportunity and the right that they deserve to be authentically themselves. I think about this idea of challenging the legality of immorality, and it truly is immoral and in just criminal for our babies to not be able to be themselves, to feel a sense of safety in a place that they spend most of their time in, to not see themselves in books that are celebrating joyful everyday stories, but also understanding the historical truths. Our children deserve to have opportunities of windows and mirrors into learning more about themselves, feeling empowered in themselves, cultivating their curiosity, and then also learning about the stories of others. That's the only way that we can truly create conscious citizens of our babies. And we've seen that when we prevent this information and knowledge from being shared in truthful ways, or even being shared at all, the profound impact it has on us when we become adults. And so to deny the opportunity for children to learn in ways that are authentic too is, it's really heartbreaking.
This is Tramell Gomes chatting with Pranu Kumar of Rohi's Readery.
I went to the 50th anniversary of the Seattle Black Panther Party conference a few years ago. And I remember asking activist Erica Huggins, you know, what can I do? I teach my babies you know, I've taught pre-K through fourth, but my heart and where I've taught mostly in is the pre-K and kindergarten space. And oftentimes asking myself, what do we do to continue this work beyond this age if the conversations aren't happening? And she said something very profound to me, and it says, teach babies to know their truth so that they can use the truth as tools of empowerment. And so if we're not giving our babies the tools for empowerment, we're just creating unsafe spaces for them. And we're you know, recreating the wheel of that.
Some of the arguments on the other side saying that how parents should be the ones who are there to carry forth these discussions. And then there are other bills that are shielding certain youths from feeling uncomfortable in their settings. But to your point earlier, students, these children, they spend a majority of their time in the classrooms, or a lot of their time in the classrooms, and a lot of natural curiosity and questions pop up, and the preventing of those discussions in the classroom, or the natural flow of, even if it starts in the classroom and goes back to the house and then comes back to the classroom, what are we really policing? So what are your thoughts on navigating that terrain?
Yeah, I think that our children, no matter what age, especially in schools, they understand and they see a lot more than we give them credit for. They are humanity in its purest form. They pick up on observations around them. And so when they're coming with questions, who are we to suppress that curiosity? You know, we tell our children to be curious about the world, but then we decide what things they can and cannot be curious about. And then that ends up transitioning into this state of suppression of curiosity as adults, or, you know, being afraid to ask questions. And so I think for our children, and especially for adults, because it does start with that sort of adult accountability and in our educators understanding how to navigate these conversations, it's, you know, how can we ensure that we're having really quality training, and not just one or two workshops, but something that is consistent for our educators, for anyone that's working in these spaces to have authentic conversations, and also being willing to say, you know, I'm actually not sure how to answer that question, but I'm also learning. So let's actually take a moment. I'm going to come back to you with how to support you in navigating this conversation. And children are really receptive to that when you're authentic with them about what your understandings are too. But I think especially children, you know, in school feel also a sense of safety when they're around other children to have conversations. So if we can promote that sense of openness and communication early on, then hopefully that'll help them as they're navigating the world as they get older.
Indeed. For those listening, whether it's the governor or legislative leadership, what would you advise as they debate these hot button issues focused on education?
Yeah, we have an obligation to ensure that we are cultivating and promoting safe spaces for our children and accessibility to them, whether it is inside of school or outside of school. As a community, it's important for us to embrace our children in their full authenticity and really think about, you know, I think of this quote often, and it says, every society needs sacred places. A society that cannot remember its past and honor it is in peril of losing its soul. Our babies right now need sacred spaces, and they need to feel as though they can, once again, I keep saying this, but it's just because it's true. They need to be able to share their stories. They need to be authentically themselves. And Roe's Readery, we are committed to doing that no matter what. But I really implore anyone who is thinking about passing these bills to really think about a child in front of you not being able to express themselves, not being able to feel empowered in who they are, not being able to learn about the history of who they are, and what effects it's going to have not only on today, but on the structure of our community in the future.
Well, Pranu, thank you so much for taking this time to speak with me. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity. And I'm grateful to be able to share and learn in this work together.
This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes. Visit rotundapodcast.com, follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast. And as we wrap up this session, let us know your thoughts. How did it all go? Did you view it as a session of culture wars, or did lawmakers do a good job in addressing the critical needs of the state? Your input will be featured in an upcoming episode. Last week, Florida Surgeon General Dr. Joseph Latipo announced he, along with the State Department of Health, will formally recommend against COVID-19 vaccine for healthy children. The Surgeon General's position breaks away from the advice of medical experts and the Centers for Disease Control. The CDC recommends that everyone age 5 and up should get inoculated. So let's turn to an expert on children's health. Dr. Candace Jones is an Orlando-based pediatrician, and she shares her thoughts on the Surgeon General's announcement.
First of all, thank you for having me today to discuss this important topic. And it's unfortunate that we're having this discussion. And it's unfortunate that our State Department of Health will be on the wrong side of history when it comes to protecting our children during this pandemic, children and families, quite frankly, during this pandemic. My reaction is that this is yet another political ploy. It is unsafe. It is irresponsible, and it is a slap in the face to science and to all of the health experts, thousands, hundreds of thousands of health experts in the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Centers for Disease Control, and even our Florida chapter here, every major healthcare organization supporting vaccination of children who are now eligible 5 and up with the COVID vaccine. The science behind it, this vaccine has been shown through rigorous study to be safe and effective in preventing severe disease, preventing hospitalizations, and even preventing long-term symptoms or outcomes from COVID-19 infection. And so for these two individuals, Surgeon General and our governor, to have this panel of disinformation and misrepresent data and utilize physicians and other people to misrepresent data and advise against this vaccine in children 5 and up is very irresponsible.
Although we're seeing that children are less likely to be really sick, we have still seen children unfortunately die from COVID-19. What should the state be doing alternatively?
Right. You're absolutely right. It is a fact that most children will do well, just as most people in general will do okay if they get COVID-19 infection. But this is not just a common cold, and children have been very sick. We know there was a time not too long ago where we were seeing spikes in hospitalizations in children hospitals with children with COVID-19 infection, and children have died in our own state with COVID-19 infection. Children also can experience severe symptoms and suffer with multi-inflammatory syndrome with COVID. And children do have long COVID. I have seen and had patients with long COVID symptoms and not to be able to taste and smell, or your altered perception of tasting and smelling being altered for months is bothersome and can affect nutrition and growth and things of that nature. So this is not benign. And so we should do everything we can to avoid getting infection. And so on an individual level, but also on a level of our government, in our state and our local government, the health department is responsible for protecting us from a public health perspective. And so we know that the evidence has shown that a layered approach to protecting our communities during this pandemic includes vaccination. And so when the vaccines are approved, when they are deemed to be safe and effective, we should utilize them to reduce the spread of this infection and to protect the community and keep the levels low.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with Dr. Candace Jones, a pediatrician based in Orlando.
Also, mask and ventilation and all of these layers of protection should be promoted and encouraged by our health department at a local and state level. But we've seen from this administration constant undermining of those evidence-based strategies. And that's unfortunate, and it should be unacceptable.
When the governor is casting Dr. Latipo as a hero, going against the grain in his positions and stances with regard to lockdowns and mandate policies, and saying, like, you know, his voice of the minority is speaking up to the masses, going against things, and he's sort of like, you know, having Dr. Latipo as like a champion for the people with an alternative view. What do you make of Dr. Latipo's view? What should the public do with the information we're getting from the state, from the governor, and Dr. Joseph Latipo, who is,
you know, having an alternative view is fine for music and what you like to eat, stuff like that, right? But having an alternative view when it comes to public health, when it comes to people's lives, you know, we're almost to 1 million people dead from COVID-19 infection since the pandemic began. And it is precisely these this disinformation, if you will, this alternative fact that he is presenting that undermines sound evidence-based public health measures and contributes to spreading of this disease, even deaths, and undermining the trust of our community for doing the things that our experts that can be trusted are telling us to do. And so it just creates a dangerous scenario, and it will have long-lasting effect. I believe even in our childhood immunizations, because some of the arguments, some of the things he's saying that he's not even explaining, it sounds so familiar when parents are talking to me in the exam room and they're distrustful of childhood immunizations like polio and DTaP and MMR. It sounds all so familiar. And so this distrust that they're creating is going to have a trickle effect, and it's going to be harmful, and our children and families will suffer.
All right, Dr. Candace Jones, thank you so much for taking this time to speak with me. I really appreciate your time. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to Pranu Kumar of Rohi's Readery and pediatrician Dr. Candace Jones. Stay tuned and visit rotundapodcast.com for updates on our upcoming episodes as we revamp scheduling outside of the 2022 legislative session.